Numbers 13 and verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men, that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers shall ye send a man, every one a ruler among them. Now, verse 6, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. Now, verse number 30, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Now, chapter 14 and verse number 4, and they said one to another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, The land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defence is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not, but all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. Down, please, to verse number 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, Deuteronomy, please, and chapter 1. Deuteronomy 1 and verse number 34. And the Lord heard the voice of your words and was wroth and sware, saying, Surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see that good land which I swear to give unto your fathers, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. He shall see it, and to him will I give the land that he hath trodden upon, and to his children, because he hath wholly followed the Lord. Joshua, please, and chapter 14. Joshua chapter 14 and verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses the man of God concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses swore on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the Lord will bless the reading of these portions of his word. Now, you will have observed that we want to consider an outstanding Old Testament character, and his record has been preserved as an example and an encouragement for us. And that man, of course, is Caleb. The very mention of his name brings to mind the statement that is six times attributed to him in Scripture. He wholly followed the Lord. Now, if we knew no details whatsoever, that statement alone would lift him in our esteem and admiration as a man that wholly followed the Lord. But in view of the fact that we are given details, it should create within us an earnest desire just to know what those details are and to emulate that great man, that we might merit that commendation, that we would be one that wholly followed the Lord. In that light, then, as we examine the scriptures with a desire to follow his steps, we should be greatly encouraged to learn that Caleb himself reveals his secret. He leaves us in no doubt as to why Caleb was a man who wholly followed the Lord. We read it this evening. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. That's the key. That's the key. It was in his heart. And we cannot overemphasize the importance of the heart. It's where our affections and our loyalties lie. The wise man said, As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Again, he said, Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And just as we think on that statement, we realize that that was Samson's downfall. Samson made shipwreck of his life because he kept not his heart. The whole course of your life and mine can be traced to our hearts. How much better that we follow the example of the psalmist who said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." The Lord Jesus taught, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. I wonder if it's your desire and mine to be able to say with the psalmist, "My heart is inditing a good matter." It will affect our actions. In fact, it will direct our actions. And I believe this is the key, this is the reason why Caleb was steadfast and unmovable, even in the face of such opposition. It was in his heart. So, who was Caleb? Was he the son of some great man like Isaac was? No. We only know this man's father as he's mentioned just to identify his famous son. He had no famous father. This is speculation, but I would suggest to you most likely, very probably, he had a godly mother. And like the kings of whom it said, the Lord and his mother's name was. Never miss the connections of Scripture. What's it doing? It's attributing that king's faithfulness to God to the upbringing that he got on his mother's knee. And I would suggest that quite likely Caleb had such a privilege. And even if that is speculation, this is fact. By the time he was 40, he had already proved himself because he appears first on the page of Scripture at the age of 40. And at the age of 40, he is a ruler of the tribe of Judah. He had the confidence of his people. Because when they were to choose a representative to go, one representative for the whole tribe, Caleb was the man. A young man who had already proved himself. He's an example to us of the words of the Lord Jesus. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. And just in passing, I'll take the time just to point out a couple of little words in that verse. There's some here from my home assembly, and they've heard me say many, many times, don't skip over the little words. Did you notice what the Lord Jesus said? He that is faithful in that which is least will be faithful in that. No. is faithful. Young believer, God wants you to be faithful in the little things he's committed to you, and he attributes to you faithfulness in greater matters. This applies to brother and sister alike. I think one of the biggest problems amongst us today is that we're so occupied with what we can't do that we're overlooking what we can do. And whether you are young or old, whether you are a brother or a sister, there is something that God has given you to do, and you can do it better because he has fitted you than somebody else can do it that he hasn't fitted to do. I think it's very sad that there are those amongst the Lord's people today that are having to do things that the Lord hasn't fitted them to do because the ones he has fitted aren't doing it. Don't be occupied with what another is doing. Don't be occupied with what you cannot do. The Lord's highest commendation that he gave to anybody, he gave to the woman that simply anointed him with that precious ointment. And this is what he said. She has done what she could. Now, I want you just to pause and consider those words. What the Lord was saying was this, that if she could do it, she did it. Can that be said of you? Can it be said of me? May the Lord search our hearts. Jeremiah wrote, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." Don't adopt the attitude that, yes, it will be good to do something for the Lord, but not yet. Now is the time. Now, we must move on. When the 12 spies returned, they described the land as a land that floweth with milk and honey. Where did they get that description? That goes right back to Exodus chapter 3. And that was the very first description that God gave of the land when he called Moses. What does that mean? They, although they were wicked spies, although they were faithless men, they had to acknowledge the faithfulness of God. God had said, it's a land that flows with milk and honey, and they came back from that land and they said exactly the same thing. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. And they produced the evidence of what they'd found in the land in the samples of the fruit that they brought. Well, wouldn't you think, right, let's go in. This is what we want. No. The very next word they said was, nevertheless. In other words, in spite of how good it is, in spite of all this produce, we've never seen the like of it. We've been wandering in the wilderness where there's been nothing except that manna, and our soul loatheth that light bread. Nevertheless, and they discouraged the people, and they said, no, the people are strong. The cities have got big walls and there's giants there. And that's where Caleb comes into the picture. And we read that Caleb stilled the people. Oh, that we had more Calebs today. Men that could stand up before the people of God and still the people. And he said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. The others contradicted him, and they said, we're not able to go up. The people are stronger. And in the next chapter that we read, Joshua joined with Caleb, and together they tried to persuade the people. And what was the reaction? They wanted to stone them. It's not easy to stand for God. But we're going to see in the next couple of minutes, it's well worth it. And these men proved the faithfulness of God. You know, this is recorded not to be an interesting story, but for our instruction. The things written aforetime are written for our learning. What does that mean? That in principle, the things that happened here in a material, literal way will happen to us in a spiritual way. And God has, remember, their God is our God. And he has said, I change not. And if Caleb could depend on his God, you can depend on your God. And that's the reason this is recorded, so that we can believe God. And that's the simple testimony concerning that great man Abraham, isn't it? Abraham believed God. That was the testimony of Paul in a hopeless situation. They'd given up hope that they'd ever see land again. And Paul says, I believe God. Could you stand up in troublous circumstances, in circumstances of adversity and opposition, and say, I believe God? You see, we're not unlike them. They'd known the salvation of the Lord. They'd known the provision of the Lord in the wilderness. And now they've seen a sample of the richness of the inheritance that God is providing for them. And those that have gone in for it are testifying as to the how worthwhile it is. And they just want to get in and to possess it. Are you interested in possessing your spiritual possessions and inheritance today? Look, I'm not talking about heaven. If you're saved by the grace of God, there's no question you're going to heaven. But what I'm talking about is the here and now. That's what Canaan represents. Don't ever think that Canaan represents heaven. There's warfare in Canaan. There was sin in Canaan. There was failure in Canaan. Nothing like heaven. It's here and now. And God wants us to live day by day in the good of our spiritual inheritance that is ours now and eternally. And what did they say? Only rebel not against the Lord. Each of us individually has a choice to make. Do I want to advance and get on in this world or in spiritual things? And that decision will have consequences. And we'll see those consequences. Are we going to be influenced by the majority? And look, allow me to use my imagination. In that great company, I'm sure there were some that had the thought in their mind it would be good to go in there. But they allowed themselves to be influenced by the majority. Is that where you stand tonight? Do you know the truth of God, but it's not real easy to stand up for it? Because of the influence of some powerful person or some great movement, God's word is unchanging. And what we find the consequences were that God said that none of those people that rebelled will enter into the land. But my servant Hagar, because he had another spirit. And we move forward. You're thinking today, you're thinking tonight, you're envisaging tomorrow and the ridicule and the scorn that your companions, your workmates will heap upon you if you testify for Christ. Perhaps you're even thinking of the cost amongst believers to stand for the truth. Could I ask you just to look ahead and introduce into your thinking the judgment seat of Christ? It'll make a big difference to the decisions that you will make day after day. I'm going to ask you to look ahead in relation to this man. Because he looked back 45 years. And Moses could testify that 45 years earlier, there was a big gathering of the children of Israel, and Caleb stood there. And 45 years later, there's another big gathering of the children of Israel, and Caleb stood amongst them. And it was a different company, because that company had perished in the wilderness. And in view of that, can I ask you, dear fellow believer this evening, is it worth standing for the truth? Is it worth wholly following the Lord? Caleb's steadfastness was appreciated by other godly men. We've noted that Moses had reason to mention Caleb a second time. And that was in relation to the tribes of Reuben and Gad approaching Moses when they were just by Jordan, ready to cross over into the land. And they said, look, we don't want to. It suits our prosperity better to graze our cattle on the green grass on this side of the river. Moses got angry. And Moses said, this reminds me of what happened on an earlier day at Kadesh Barnea. And look what's happened. They've died. But Caleb, the man that brought the honest report, he's still with us. That time's running away on me again. But what we want to notice now, as an 85-year-old, he comes to Joshua to claim his inheritance. And what does he ask for? He asks for an inheritance where there's all those things that the others were afraid of. He asked for an inheritance where there's walled cities, where there's giants. And remember, an 85-year-old, and he's asking for a mountain. We know now that that mountain was Hebron. What's in your heart? What's in mine? Are we trusting in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy? That's Caleb. He was trusting in the living God. May we be found day after day setting our affection on things above, not on things on the earth. I'd like to take the time just now to briefly mention two other men in relation to their hearts. They had such exercise that they stood in very adverse circumstances. One at the beginning of the captivity, one at the end of the captivity. So firstly, we'll think of a Daniel. And once again, it's as a young man. And look, my increasing exercise is to encourage young believers, whether they're brothers, whether they're sisters. I feel in a measure I'm like Peter. I want to put you in remembrance of these things, so that after my decease, I'm not looking to die. I'm looking for the coming of the Lord. But it's obvious I haven't got too much longer, naturally speaking. What I'm wanting to do is that after I'm gone, there might be a flourishing testimony. Young men, young women raised up of God. This young man, Daniel, was taken into a far land, taken captive and found himself in Babylon. He was chosen for service in the palace, and he was expected to eat the same food as that Gentile king, contrary to the law of God. Did it really matter? So far away from home, nowhere near the temple, did it matter? Of course it did. Out of a deep conviction to remain faithful to the word of God, even in that foreign land, we read that Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Daniel proved the truth of the word of the Lord to Eli. Them that honour me, I will honour. We know that Daniel was a man of prayer. Communion with God was vital to Daniel. I want you just to logically follow through on the consequences of Daniel's decision one way and the other. We know the scriptural outcome that Daniel was made great. He was promoted because he was faithful. He honored God and God honored him. Now, let's look at the other side. If Daniel had said, look, it's only a small matter. I think I really shouldn't upset the king. I'm a long way from home. It doesn't really matter. He'd have lost that communion with God. And if he'd lost that communion with God, he wouldn't have known the interpretation of the dream. And without the interpretation of the dream, he'd have died. Simple as that. Is it worth remaining faithful? Is it worth honoring the Lord? We want to think quickly of Ezra at the other end of the captivity. Oh, no, some had already gone back under Zerubbabel, but the time came that the king said that if any out of his free will would want to go back, let him go back with Ezra. Now, Ezra was a priest. He was a descendant of Aaron. But he was also a scribe, and he taught the law. But he had a deep exercise in relation to the spiritual welfare of the people, so that we read, Ezra prepared his heart. Daniel purposed in his heart. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law, to do it, and to teach in Israel. It shouldn't come then as any surprise, should it? The great joy when the law, the book of the law was read and the sense was given and the people understood it. There was the celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles. Oh, that we had more men today that would prepare their hearts to seek and to do and to teach. But we're not finished with Caleb yet, actually. That was just a bit of a digression. What about Caleb's family? Beloved child of God, what about your family? Is it worth compromising the truth because of your family? It's becoming a bit of a pandemic, I think. Surely we can't expect our family to pay the price of being linked to a faithful man, a man that will wholly follow the Lord. We do read about this man's family. He had a daughter, and that daughter had the same appreciation of the inheritance of the Lord that her father had. And she said, I want more. Is that our desire for our children? Would we rejoice if our children eclipsed us spiritually? Surely we should. And surely that should be Our desire. But did her appreciation for the inheritance of the Lord diminish her prospects of marriage? No, it didn't. And just like the daughters of Zelophehad, she received that increased inheritance and she got a husband who also had an appreciation for the inheritance. A man that was prepared to go in and conquer the land. That man's name was Othniel. And we will, as we read through the scriptures, we'll read more concerning him. The children of Israel rebelled against the Lord. And just like in the book of Judges, because that's where it is, the recurring cycle of rebellion and retribution and repentance and rest, and those four phases just keep recurring over and over again. And what happened? When the children of Israel eventually repented, who was it that the Lord raised up to deliver them? This man. You see, together, both of them separately, as singles, they both had an appreciation of the inheritance of the Lord and wanted more of it. And together they went from strength to strength, so that Othniel was the man that God raised up to deliver his people. Again, let me just suggest to young parents, never underestimate the power of example. If in the home there is that right relationship between the husband and wife that there should be, that little girl will grow up wanting to be just like her mother. And that little boy will want to follow in the steps of his father. What's the subject around the meal table? When they're just little ones, look ahead, dear child of God. The days might come, the troublous teenage years, and your child would like some counsel, some advice. Who are they going to seek it from? Would they go to one of the believers in the assembly that they've heard criticized and slandered and around the meal table? Not likely. They're more likely to go to the counselors of this world that will advise them according to the liberal psychology of this world. Beloved saints, can we wholly follow the Lord? And be careful in our conversation. You know, it's those little ones that are quick to detect hypocrisy. Oh, you might look just the part here in the meetings, but is it the same in the home? Oh, they'll detect it. They'll see it. Let us wholly wholly follow the Lord. And in closing, I'd just like to be a Barnabas, a son of consolation, and exhort each of us, including the speaker, that with purpose of heart, we would cling unto the Lord.